Okay, Baruch Hashem, we're up to Ashrei. It says in the Gemara in Brachos on Da'ar Amud Beis, Kol ha'omer tehila le'David b'chol yom shalosh pa'amim muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. Anybody that says the Mizmor of Tehila le'David, now Ashrei is really the Mizmor of Tehila le'David, because if you look at in two psukim later, it says Tehila le'David arumcha l'kaya melech, etc. So really the Mizmor is Mizmor kuf mem hay and tehillim. But we introduce it with two psukim that come before Mizmor Kuf Mem Hei. We'll talk about that in a moment. But anybody that says Ashrei three times a day, so he's guaranteed that he's a Ben Olam Haba. And the Gemara asks why, what's so special about Ashrei? And the Gemara concludes that there's two things in it that make it that much more valuable. One is that it's according to the letters of the Aleph Beis, it goes through every one of them. And two, is that it has the special pasuk of potech et yadecha umaspil chachay ratzon, which is referring to how Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains and gives life and food and help to everything that's alive and everything that's in existence. And the idea behind that pasuk is so big that if you say it three times a day, then you're guaranteed to be a ben olam haba. The Mishnah Brura says about Ashrei that when the Gemara says this, it doesn't mean that it's enough just to say Ashrei. You actually have to contemplate on what you're saying, on the words, in order for this guarantee of Chazal to be true. Rabbi Kiva Eger on the side of the Gemara points out to the Rush and to the Tur that don't have the Girsa three times a day. So according to them, it sounds like once a day even. If once a day you really contemplate about this and say it, so then one is guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. It's brought down the halacha that if you say, since one of the biggest things that's special about this mizmor is the pasuk potech et yadecha, if you said that pasuk without having any kavana, you should go back and say it again. If you already continued further into the halalukas, so then at the end of davening, you should go back and say, starting from Potech et Yadecha until the end of the Mizmor again. But that's how important it is to say that pasuk with kavana. Okay, so now we have two psukim that introduce Tehila David. First one is Ashrei Yoshev Veisecha Odi Haluchasela. Now, in these two psukim, it says the word Ashrei three times, right? Because the first pasuk says Ashrei Yoshev Veisecha, and it says Ashrei Am Shekachalo, Ashrei Am Shehashem Lokav. This is Ashrei three times. And that might be hinting at saying Tehila David three times, then you'd be zocha to all the happinesses, you know, in the next world. Because Ashrei is in the word Osher. Osher is happiness, and it's written in plural, so Ashrei. And since it's written three times, so it might be hinting at, you say Ashrei three times, and then you'll be guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch discusses, what do we mean when we say three times a day? So it could be that the three times a day is referring to the fact that we say it twice in Shacharis, once right now, once towards the end of davening, and then once again later in the day at Mincha. We say Ashrei, that could be the three times. It could be that it's referring to the three parts of the day, night, morning, and afternoon. And then it's that you have to think about the ideas of Ashrei three times a day, even though we don't find it coming up in Maariv. Rashi says that it's Keneged Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv that you have to be thinking about these concepts. Okay, now it says, we know in the Gemara in Brachos, there's a Mishnah that talks about how in the early generations, the Hasidim HaRishonim used to sit for an hour in Shul before davening to focus themselves in to who they're speaking to, who they're standing in front of, what are they going to be saying, in order to get themselves in the proper mindset with the right kavana. Where do they learn that from? What pasuk? From this pasuk, Ashrei Yosher Veisecha, fortunate, happy are those that sit in the Beis Hashem, and only then, afterwards, Odi HaLuchasala, afterwards they go and they praise Hashem. So they learned it out from this pasuk. So it could be that's one of the reasons why we put it over here in Pesukei Dezimra, because we're explaining what we're doing right now. Pesukei Dezimra is kind of in place of that, that we're sitting in the house of Hashem, preparing ourselves for the right kavanah and davening to know who we're speaking to. and only then we'll go ahead and we're going to praise. So we're saying that pasuk now already, to because it's showing us what it is that we're doing right now. If you look in throughout Ashrei, you find that 11 psukim are written in second person, straight to Hashem, showing how close we are, and how, and it's a reflection of our avas Hashem. And 10 psukim are speaking in third person, where we're you know distanced, recognizing the greatness of Hashem, Yirah Shamayim. Okay, now when we say Ashrei Yoshrei Veisecha, what's Veisecha referring to? So Rav Shmuel Feuerherz says, on one hand, it's hard to say that it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash because you're not actually allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. The only people that could sit in the Beis HaMikdash are the Malchei Beis David, the kings of the house of David. So Ashrei Yoshrei Veisecha, he said it's hard to say that Veisecha is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. But it could be that when we say Yoshrei Veisecha, we don't actually mean sitting, but we mean those that reside in the Beis HaMikdash, those that get to always be there. Like I'd say, we're Oel LeRegel three times a year, and you go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you see, oh, wow, there's people that serve there all year long, and they always get to be there. And then we express Ashrei Yoshrei Veisecha, fortunate are those that get to just reside and stay in the Beis HaMikdash all the time. And maybe a support to that is says of Shteman that in Mizmor Pei Dalet, where this pasuk is found, so it's actually talking about the Beis HaMikdash over there. And then the idea behind the pasuk is those that get to spend time in the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of time, so they really get infused with the Tara and the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And nowadays, the way that we can carry this into ourselves, into our own lives, as Shteman says, is like the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMidrash and the Beis Knesset, which is like a Mikdash Ma'at, that's like a little microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash nowadays. So when we spend time in the Beis HaMikdash, we spend time in Shul, so then we get infused with the Kedusha, with the Tara of the Shul. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah brings this pasuk down, and he says that even just to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, let's say he's talking about after davening, that a person really should go right into learning something. So they go Michayel L'Chayel. I think the Mishnah Berurah is over there that if you don't have to learn anything, meaning even on the simplest of level, there's something that you could learn, even just sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, sitting in the shul, itself is a mitzvah. And then he quotes his pasuk, Ashrei Yoshrei Veisecha, just to sit in shul, just to sit in the Beis HaMikdash itself is a mitzvah, and you're getting infused with the holiness of the place. Od Yehaluch HaSela also is hinting at what we said before, that if you say Ashrei three times a day and you contemplate on the ideas of it, so you'll get to your muvtach to be a Ben Olam Haba, so Od Yehaluch HaSela, you'll get to continue to praise Hashem also afterwards. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Aleph, that says, Kol HaOmer Shira BaOlam HaZeh Zocha VaOmer LaOlam Haba. Anybody that sings Shira and praises to Hashem in this world will be zochet to continue to sing praises to Hashem also in the next world. And this world, we sing Shira to Hashem as a form of serving Him. And the next world, when we sing Shira to Hashem, it's actually a form of schar, the enjoyment of the ability and the schus and the merit to sing Shira to Hashem, to join with the malachim in that kind of a way, is something that will give an unimaginable pleasure, so to speak. And we see this idea of Ashrei Yoshrei Veisecha, those that praise Hashem in this world, owed later in the next world, Yehaluch HaSela, they're going to praise Hashem. Sela is always, forever, eternally, they get to continue to praise Hashem. As it says in the Gemara, whoever sings Shira in this world will continue to sing Shira in the next world. Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu says a beautiful idea. He says that when does a malach sing Shira to Hashem? So we find that the Sar of Esav, when Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Malach of Esav, so after Yaakov beat him, and that fight was over, then the Malach said, I have to go now and sing Shira. What, just now specifically it happens to be that it fell out his day, his time for Shira, right when he had just lost his battle with Yaakov? No, when a person fulfills his purpose, when a Malach fulfills their purpose, that's their turn to say Shira. His purpose was to be beaten by Yaakov Avinu, to fight against him, to be a resistance for Yaakov Avinu, and then to be beaten by Yaakov Avinu. Now that he fulfilled his purpose, it's his time to sing Shira. So to us, when what does it mean that somebody sings Shira in this world? And they complete their task, they complete their jobs in this world. Kala Omer Shira Ba'olam Hazeh, whoever sings Shira in this world, meaning that they, just like a malach, they completed their job and their task, then they're able to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the next world. These are all by way of introductions to the mezmor. In Brachos Yudamar Aleph, it says the following, that any parsha, any mezmor that David HaMelech really loved, called parsha shaita chaviva al David, patach ba ba'ashrei v'sim ba ba'ashrei. Any mizmor that he really, really loved the most, his favorite, what was David HaMelech's favorite mizmorim in Tehillim? The ones that open with Ashrei and end with Ashrei. And the Gemara gives an example. The first mizmor in Tehillim says Ashrei Aish, and it ends off with Ashrei Kol Chosevo. So Tosos asks over there in Brachos, but that's the only one. There is no other mizmor that starts with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei. So what do you mean every mizmor that starts and ends with Ashrei is his favorite one? Then that would only be the first mizmor, the one that you brought as an example. So Tosos answers, no. What the Gemara means is any mizmor that opens up and closes with exactly the same idea. For example, like over here, and he brings this as an example, we start off with Tehillah LeDavid, Aramimcha Elokai HaMelech, and it ends off Tehillah Hashem Yidaber Pi, Gerah Kol Basar. We go back to the same idea of Tehillah Hashem. So it starts with the same idea that it ends with. And the concept behind that is that David HaMelech loves what he's saying so much, he doesn't want to leave it. So he goes back to repeat what he was saying in the beginning, and that's hinting at the fact that he doesn't want to leave this mizmor. He's going back to the ideas of the beginning about it again already. What would be so beloved about these specific mizmorim that David would love these the most? Rav Shteinman says that maybe, perhaps, because all these mizmorim are ones where David doesn't mention anything about his own personal life, about his own person, about any suffering or running, being chased after by enemies. There's no mention of it. It's kulo, completely just praises and shvachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from beginning to end, where he is not existent in the mizmor that he's saying over there. And that's what David HaMelech loved the most, and those were the ones that were the hardest for him to leave, so he went back to the same idea that he was saying already in the beginning. And that's one of the special things about Asher, is that there's no mention of ourselves and our own difficulties and tragedies, but it's all just shevach to Hashem. The Rokeach points out that every pasuk in Ashrei, right, it has like two phrases. Tehillah LeDavid Aramimcha Elokai HaMelech Va'avarcha Shimcha LeOlam Va'ed B'chol Yom Avarchecha Ve'ahala Shimcha LeOlam Va'ed. So in the middle of every pasuk there's an etnachta, like a pause, and then a vav for the second phrase, Ve'ahala Shimcha LeOlam Va'ed. That's how the whole thing is set up. Gadol Hashem Mula Ma'ot Vig Ligdulaso En Cheker. But there's twice that we see that doesn't happen. By the letter Ches and by the letter Kuf. By the letter Ches, Chanun V'racham Hashem Erech HaPayim Ugdal Chased. There's no Vav in the middle over there. And also by Kuf, Karav Hashem L'chol Karav L'chol Asher Ku'uv Ve'emes. So what's the idea behind the Ches and the Kuf not having a Vav separating the first phrase and the second phrase? So this, the Rokeach says, he says that Ches and Kuf is the gematria of Gehenim. And the fact that they don't have the Vav is trying to hint to us that anybody that says Asherah and contemplates on it three times a day won't see Gehenim. Won't even see Gehenim. That's why the Ches and the Kuf don't have the Vav over there. They're free. It just goes straight through. No pause, no stop. Just pass right past Gehenim. You don't have to go into Gehenim. Is hinting at that. So if Shteinman asks, what do you mean? You just get skip Gehenim? If you just say Asher and contemplate a few times a day, what happens to all of your sins? How could that be? So a person who just sin whatever he wants and contemplate an Ashrei three times a day. So one pshat is, it could be that anybody that lives in contemplation of Ashrei will go on. We'll continue tomorrow.